This is the weekend right before 4th of July, and it's a time when we celebrate. I don't know about you, but 4th of July growing up was one of my funner, I guess, holidays. I really looked forward to it as a kid. It was a time we got together with a lot of different friends of the family and went out and had a picnic over, and then we got to go swimming. And we usually went to Lake Redhaw back in the day for a while, and it was a good time. I always had a lot of fond memories of the 4th of July. And as we celebrate it here coming up, you know, the idea of freedom and what that all entails, because we take a lot of that for granted. I don't know about you, but I know I do, you know, the freedom. And what I want to talk about today is we have freedom from gives us freedom to, meaning that it's only when we are free from the power of sin are we free to serve the Lord and other people without regret. Some people have regret when they serve others. And that's really not freedom was for. So it's really, it puts us into another place of serving. To me, freedom kind of changes everything, the way we live, the way we interact with others. You know, we do remember we're not born free because we're born in sin, and that's why we have to be born again. And that's the freedom that Jesus Christ came to give us all. Now, Galatians 5:1, we're going to look at three scriptures today. We're going to look at the Declaration of Independence, the Declaration of Interdependence, and then the Declaration of Dependence is what we're going to look at, our three main points today. Galatians 5:1 is my first scripture. It says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the power of your Spirit just working in each of our hearts and each of our lives. Lord, I thank you for a special stirring here today. Lord, as we celebrate the idea and the concept of freedom and what that means, Lord, I know that we can be set free legally, but yet not walk in that freedom experientially. Lord, help us to be able to attain everything that you have for each of our lives. Lord, we know that he who the Son has set free is free indeed. And we want to walk in that in our everyday life. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So my first point we're going to look at is the Declaration of Independence. Now that's something we should know. A lot of us has graduated a long time ago. Kind of forgot about some of it. But primarily, our forefathers wanted to be free from England. And they're willing to put their name on the line for all to see. 56 men chose to sign that statement. Now, for us looking back, because we live in a life of freedom, we don't think that's a big deal. But those 56 men, if you study in history what happened to them, they were all hunted. They were all, you know, most of them died broke. They were very rich men when they started out. But yet England singled them out and they sought them to try to extinguish them because they rebelled against their tyranny. And see, that's what it's like sometimes for you and I. When we choose to rebel against Satan, and that's what we should do. We need to come into the kingdom of God, and then we're not a part of Satan's kingdom no more. When you're born, we're born into Satan's kingdom because he's the god of this world, the little g. I always put a little g. I hope you do too. Now, a little sidebar about me. I very seldom use Satan. I never give him a capital S when I write his name, just to kind of degrade him a little bit. I mean, you know, my spell thing, it always comes out red. I'm supposed to fix it, you know, but I just purposely do that because I don't want to give him any credit at all because his power's been stripped. Now, this was a risky decision for these people to do. What many people won't teach you in the history books is that they were, for the most part, godly men to some degree. And in scriptures, they would read how freedom and freedom of religion was very important because in England they had state religion, which kind of led to bondage. And what they did is when they signed their name on the dotted line, they pledged their allegiance, shall we say, to this new way of life, this new way of living, what they really thought could be attained. And I want to ask us today, are we willing to put our name on the line? Are we willing to stand up and say, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, I'm not ashamed of what Jesus Christ has done in my life? Are we willing to testify and to tell people about the life-changing experience that Jesus Christ came to give? Because that's what happens in freedom. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And when we pledge our allegiance to Him, then we start to walk in that new life. Now, Jesus Christ, He came to break the power of sin in our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I was a sinner. I still make mistakes all the time. But at one time in my life, before I was born again, you know, I do know that I was under Satan's power. And that power had a hold of me. And Satan would manipulate me. And he would, not directly that I knew the devil was up there doing things, but primarily due to the sin nature that I had, because I didn't have the new nature yet. I wasn't free. I walked in bondage, that I was a pawn, shall we say, of the devil. And that's where all of us are when we start out. But Jesus Christ came to break that power. And that's the hardest thing, you know, maybe sometimes for us to really realize, in my opinion, is the fact of the spiritual realm that's all around us. You know, we maybe not walk with our eyes so we can tune into the spiritual realm where we might see what's really going on, but we know what really took place is that, you know, sin had control over us. It was holding us down, but Jesus came to set us free. And Jesus set us free just for freedom's sake, and that's just so amazing because, you know, we're so used to wanting to control so many things in our life. And when we want to control all these things, it's hard for us to just let go. Like the old saying, you know, if you have a dog on a chain, you know, just unhook it and see if it comes back. You know what I'm saying? If it really loves you. You know, we had dogs growing up, hunting dogs, and, you know, my job was to let them go and let them run a little bit and get some exercise every day, and I'd let them go. And, you know, sometimes them old dogs, they stayed away for a while, but they got hungry and they came home. I can't say it was out of love. It's probably more out of starvation. You know, they wanted to have that. But, you know, there's a scary thing that I believe some people struggle with when it comes to freedom and grace. Because we're so used to controlling every aspect of our life. Everything that we want to do, we want to maybe make sure that it's all in a nice little package, you know, just like we want. And then we forget about the idea of what it means to be, really be in a place where we can just walk in a level of freedom and trust. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, He said, "It's finished." And when Jesus said, "It is finished," He didn't mean He was dead. He meant sin has been broken. The power of sin has been broken. It's broken. All we have to do is attain it. And when He said it's broken, He meant that we're free. Jesus made it possible to be free, but I want to remind us sometimes, not all of us walk in a level of freedom. You know, back early in our history of our country, Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation declaring that all slaves are free. And the day that he signed that, there was a lot of slaves still down in the South that never knew they were free because they haven't heard about it yet. They didn't know it was possible. And their owners, they kept trying to hold them back, and that's wrong. And that's why we had, you know, a terrible war, but it was worth it to be able to, because to see freedom. But that's what freedom's all about. Freedom's hard sometimes. You got to struggle to get your freedom because Satan just doesn't want to get let go of you. You know, the enemy tries to hold people back, and Satan wants to hold us in a position where we have to try to surrender to him, where he tries to control our lives and to hold us back from what really Jesus Christ came to give. And all we have to do for you and I to experience that freedom is to put our name on the line. Put our name on that line. Because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And what Jesus Christ came to do is to set us free from something so that we'd be free to do something. The thing that he wants for us in our life. And to be able to walk in that power that only he can give us. See, sin separates us from God. Now, I want us to think about a question right now, is the fact that, you know, number one, before we go into that, is God doesn't want to control you. A lot of people think God wants to control you, and that's why they don't want to come to God. They don't want to come to God because they think God's mean, and God doesn't want them to have any fun. God doesn't want them to really enjoy life. But here's the weird thing about God, and it is kind of weird, is that religion, you know, puts people, wants to control. But Jesus Christ came to set people free. And when people are free, it's up to them to be able to choose to come back to serve God. And that's what we have to do. See, now some people like to have control, and that's why some people gravitate towards religious churches and things where they like to be told, you can't do that and you can't do this, because they thrive on no. But God's really not the God of no. God wants to set you free so that you can willfully come to Him and to be able to follow Him and to be able to walk in the level of greatness that He's called us to do. Now, there's two things that freedom came to set us free from. Number one is sin, and number two is religion. Which one of them is worse? Which is worse? Sin or religion? The Bible says sin separates us from God, so that's bad. But religion, on the other hand, it holds us back from getting to God. They're both bad, aren't they? But see, Jesus doesn't want us to bow our knee to either one of those. One of the greatest days you and I are going to get is the fact when that day when Jesus Christ comes back on earth and it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. When everybody, now they're going to have to bow. I'm going to bow willfully, and I hope you do too. And I hopefully bowed willfully already. But see, that's the power of what freedom has come to give us, to set us free so that we can serve Him. Now, what are some of the things that He has come to set us free from? You know, maybe unforgiveness. That's something that holds us back, isn't it? You know, maybe you've had a lot of bad things happen to you in life. Maybe some people's really hurt you, and you've been put in a position where you just operate out of pain, because the pain of that is so destructive. But Jesus came to set you free from that. He came to set us free so we can forgive. Yes, it's hard. It's hard to say, you know, I release you. But see, that's the power of freedom. The same power that set us free from sin gives us the power to set people free from the sin that they've committed against us. That's what freedom does. We're no longer bound. Maybe the power of addictions in our life. You know, everybody's addicted to something. Hopefully we're addicted to God, right? But everybody, you know, addictions. I mean, the enemy tries to come in and get us to, you know, be addicted to something. And, you know, some of the tough ones are, you know, drugs or alcohol, or, you know, some people are addicted to pornography or a lot of sexual sins and things like this. But, you know, Jesus Christ came to set us free from that, to break its power. That's what freedom is. You know, when you're walking by, you know, the food pantry, maybe you're addicted to food and you want to be free from that. And every time you walk by that pantry, man, your hand goes out and I want to open that door. I want me something. I want me a Twinkie. I want me a Ho-Ho. I want me some chips. You know, whatever it is. But we don't have to be addicted to that. That's what freedom's all about. Maybe discouragement. Maybe you've had troubles in your life where life's kind of got you down. Maybe you haven't really had the breaks in life. Nobody gets all the breaks. So we get discouraged, trying to hold us back, and that's what the enemy does. And, you know, that feeling that we fail. Don't you hate that feeling that you fail? Nobody likes failing. But so we all deal with that from time to time. You know, everybody fails. Amen. Everybody falls. But see, we don't have to be bound up by that feeling that we're a failure anymore. Jesus Christ came to set us free. Amen. so that we don't have to have that hold us back in bondage anymore. And last one that's tough is fear. Maybe you're afraid of stuff. You know, fear, the Bible says, is torment. It's rough to be afraid. But Jesus Christ came to set us free from fear. All these things, you know, he came to set us free. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be able to walk in a level of competence in the sense where we don't have to bow our knee to all these things anymore. Because once we bow to God, we don't have to bow to anything else. And that's what freedom's all about. That's the freedom that comes. And I'll be honest, freedom needs to work from the inside out. We need to be free on the inside. And that comes by the experience. Because I know I've struggled with several of those things that I mentioned today, probably all of them. I've had all those operating in my life. But I will tell you this, that they have no control over me. Because I know when I was born again, the new life that he came to give me, it gave me a whole new perspective on how I interact with the world around me. That I don't have to bow my knee and to do those things anymore. Now the next thing we're going to look at after the Declaration of Independence, this is going to be a harder one for some of us, and that's the Declaration of Interdependence, found in, you know, Galatians 5:13. It says, "For you are called to freedom." See, that's calling. Freedom's calling you. But then it says, "Brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." A lot of times as Christians, you know, we get the attitude, bless God, it's just me and God. I don't need nobody. I don't need anything. I just have God and that's all I need. Now that I got God, I got it all and I don't need nobody else in my life. Nobody telling me what to do. Nobody's, you know, gonna, you know, show me anything because I, you know, I don't need anything. You know, but the truth is that we've all heard no one is an island. Nobody's an island to themselves. You know, God didn't think it was a good idea for man to be alone in the Garden of Eden, and it's still the same for us today. You know, Adam, you know, whether you want to admit it or not, he was the smartest man on the planet. He named all the animals. Look at how many animals there were. He had an intimate relationship with the Father that probably, you know, many of us would probably long to have. I mean, I have a relationship with God just the same as you do now that I'm born again. But, you know, God and I don't really go for strolls in the garden, you know what I'm saying? And kind of talk about stuff kind of the way Adam did, you know? But yet, God looked at Adam, which was, you know, the greatness of his creation. And he said, hey, it's not good for you to be alone. And I want to look at you and say, hey, it's not good for us to be alone either. We need other people in our life. And that's why we need to declare interdependency with other people. Now, I'm not talking about a codependent personality. Somebody just can't get along without somebody else, you know, helping them in their life. I'm talking about interdependency, where you and I all come together for a like precious faith and want to accomplish like precious things. You know, the truth is victory is very shallow unless you have somebody to share it with. You know, it's one thing to stand on the podium alone, but I'll tell you what, it's a lot better when you have a group of people that have worked together to accomplish a task and you see it fulfilled. Now see, the Western civilization is different than the Eastern civilization, the way we look at things. You know, we're Westerners. And as Westerners, you know, we do have that individual mentality, and that's good. It carries us through in a lot of different ways. But, you know, a lot of Americans, and I know some, they think they can do God alone without the support of the local church. They think they can get along just all by themselves and don't need any help. But, you know, what I see is that we need to have a personal relationship. And I, you know, when we stand before God, yes, you're going to stand by yourself technically. You're going to give an account for, you know, the decisions you've made and, You know, in a sense, you've already accepted Jesus Christ. You won't be the great white throne. But the Bema Seat, we're going to be judged by the things we've done with what we've had. But the idea of having a personal relationship, it should never carry over in the sense that our relationship is so private and exclusive that nobody else is involved in our experience with God. Because we all need other people, because I'll be honest, it is humbling, but you know, some people have better ideas than I have. Some people look at life a little different than I do, and they're not wrong. They're just as right as I am. And when we look at it together, we start to see a bigger picture of really what God's all about and the kingdom of God and what he has come to do. See, in the Eastern mentality, which is where Jesus was, they would never think of doing God or church unless they did it in a community. They lived in a community setting, and they walked in a community lifestyle. I just read a book the other day talking about, you know, the speaker was mentioning that if they were going to go to the store over in the East, that it might be a 5-minute walk or 10-minute walk, but it would take an hour and a half. Because all along the way, you would bump into somebody in the community and you would spend time talking with them for at least 15 minutes. So it takes a while because everybody wants to be with each other, and we should want to be with each other. We should want to do God together, because that's how we experience greatness, is when we do it together, because we are better together. And that's hard for us to get around because, you know, we're so scared because we're afraid that somebody will find out the real us or that we have real problems in our life. So the last thing I want to do is go and talk about my problems or ask for prayer because then people, what will they think about me? Well, they think you're normal because everybody has problems. You know, the only people that don't have problems are liars. They say they don't have, and that's a problem, right? Think about it. So we need to get beyond ourselves. See, the church is a body, not a finger, pointing at the wrongs of other people. We're a body, and it takes all the parts of the body to work together. Now, being a Christian doesn't make us free from needing others, now that we have God, like I mentioned. But what it does, it frees us up to connect with people. I'll be honest, I had a lot of insecurities in my life. Before I came to Jesus, I hit them pretty good. You know, I could be very successful in different areas of my life, but deep down inside, you know, there was something keeping me from really connecting on a more deep level with other people, because I maybe was afraid that they maybe wouldn't like the real me. But once I met Jesus, I didn't have that barrier no more. I didn't have that fear anymore. Because I was free. And to be honest, don't take this personally. I don't really care what you think about me. I don't. I mean, I don't want to be a stumbling block. You know, the Bible tells me not to do that, but as far as my weirdness, that's who I am. I'm weird. I know that. I know I look at life weird. But that's okay. My wife loves me. Amen? At least that's what she said. I don't know. So connecting with others, it drops those barriers. And, you know, we connect together for the greater good, for his greater glory. And to be honest, there's safety in community. You know, Satan was able to trick Eve, right? I used, the Garden of Eden. It wasn't good for Adam to be alone. So God put him to sleep, took a rib out, made a woman. Adam loved her. But yet when she was off on her own there a little bit, Satan came in and he tricked her and he got her to think independently of God and Adam. And that's what entered into sin. Now I'll be honest, I've watched a lot of Westerns as a kid. If you're out there by yourself, you can get shot in the back, right? There's nobody watching your back. We need people in our life. And I hope you have somebody. I hope it's us. Now lastly is the declaration of dependence. And this gets a little more serious. Galatians 5:16 says, But I say, walk in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Okay, the flesh, the old nature. Even though we're born again and we're set free, we still have this issue going on in our life that, you know, the old nature is trying to hold us back. You know, Satan, once we come out of his power, he doesn't just quit in our life. He wants us to still fall. He wants to ruin our reputation. He wants us to, you know, stumble in a sense where we drag other people down with us. But if we walk by the Spirit, and that's a big S right there, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, walking by the Spirit, letting God come into our life and start to take control, and that's when we declare dependence. See, most of us are individual in the sense where, like I say, we really don't want a lot of help. And, you know, when I used to do a lot of witnessing, you know, they'd say, oh, Christianity's a crutch. Yeah. We're all limping through life without Jesus. You know what I'm saying? We're all limping through life. We may put on a good game face, but, you know, we need to declare our desperate, because we're desperate for God. You know, we desperately need God to both attain and maintain our freedom in Christ. Now, the word dependence is talking about addiction. Now, I used addictions before. You know, we've all been addicted to something, something that wasn't good for us. But I believe that if we're addicted to God, that's good for us. You know, we need to be addicted to God to be able to break the power of addiction that it has in our life. You know, maybe you bow your knee to certain things, you know, that have control over you. But when we declare, see, it's about declaring and saying, I'm not going to bow my knee no more. You've always heard me tell that testimony, you know, back in Denver. You know, I would drive a service truck for the electrical company, and, you know, I was in Bible school, and we was talking about addictions and different things, and I'll be honest, I was addicted to Big Gulps. I don't know if you guys know what a Big Gulp is, but it's a 32-ounce pop. I don't know the calorie count on that right now, but I will say this, nobody needs a Big Gulp. I don't care who you are or how big you are. There ain't nobody needs a Big Gulp. I mean, that's just sugar water. So I decided I want free. I want to be free from this. God, I declare my dependence on you, and I want to be set free from this addiction, because, you know, every 7-Eleven, I mean, there's 7-Elevens about every other block out there. So I'd be driving along, and I'd want to turn in. I'd want my Big Gulp, because I deserved it, right? I deserve the Big Gulp. I can afford it. I got the money for the Big Gulp, you know. But yeah, I didn't want to bow my knee to that. So that was a battle. But I had to declare my dependence on God to be able to overcome that addiction. No Big Gulps will not send you to hell. It would probably have gotten me there quicker, though, dying. Because nobody needs that much pop at one time. Then when I started, you know, when I moved back here, I still wasn't totally free from it. I get one a day. So I go get a Big Gulp, and then I'd eat a bag of Skittles with it. That's stupid. And you know what I was doing while I was doing it? I was putting together my radio sermons because I was on the radio. I mean, destroying my temple. You know, you don't need that much sugar. It takes a toll on your body. But what I'm getting at is the fact that, you know, it was an addiction for me. It was not healthy. But see, I'd come out of alcohol. You know what I'm saying? I used to party. I mean, I didn't drink every day. And for me, alcohol was going to destroy my life because I didn't know when to stop. That was my problem. Now, some people can stop. Maybe it's not a problem for you. But it was a problem for me because if I do anything, I go all out. That's just the way it is. So, you know, I left that addiction. Jesus set me free from that. Only to take on another addiction. See, that's how addictions work. See, pop, like I said, pop's legal. So in my mind, no big deal. But yet it was hurting me. And see, that's what you have to understand. If there's something hurting you, then you should want to be free. Some people can drink pop, it don't bother them, whatever. And I'm not saying pop's illegal and you can drink big gulps all you want. I mean, they got 44 ounces now. They didn't have those back when I was a kid. We only had 32s, you know. And I think, do they have bigger ones? I don't know. I don't know if they do. But for me, I wanted to be free. See, I don't like things controlling my life other than God. And so whatever that is, you know, we just need to ask God. And, you know, when I declare my dependence on Him, because I couldn't quit it alone. Like I've told you my testimony before, when it come to alcohol, my record was 60 days. I was miserable because I took something away, but I never put nothing in. So I couldn't be free because it was by my strength. You know, I was trying to do it alone. I wasn't saved yet, so full disclaimer. I mean, that makes a little more sense. But after I got saved, then I started to get another power working in my life to break that power of sin over my life and whatever was holding me back. So as we declare our dependence on God, how important that is, you know, to get His help. And, you know, sometimes as we grow in God and we grow in church, we get to the place where we think we're old enough that we don't need help. We kind of become like a teenager. Now, all the teenagers are gone, aren't they? Yeah, we can speak freely. Amen. Teenagers think they know it all. I mean, did everybody here think they knew it all as a teenager? I think we, oh, Emma's here, darn. Don't tell what I said. Don't tell the others. But teenagers think they know it all. They don't think mom and dad know anything. That's just how it works. But I will say this, a teenager does come to that day where they know that they need mom and dad. Amen. There's things in life, and I know there's things in life, even though we think we have attained a certain level of superiority in the things of the kingdom. You know, maybe we can quote the word, and maybe we can pray the prayer of faith, and you know, all these things, and we can get by, and you know, we can beat back the devil. But I'll tell you what, if we try to do it without God, we're going to get in trouble. Because we need Him so bad in our life for everything that we do. You know, something I thought about the other day, and I may do write something about this, but there's times in our life when I get way past grace and I get over into mercy, man. You know, I need help. I need help with God or from God to help me to overcome, you know, the things that are trying to destroy my life and the things that are trying to hold me back. And, you know, sometimes it's hard. We get that independent spirit. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm not very, you know, I like kids. I love kids, really. But, you know, I like them when they're a little more proficient and they can take care of certain functions in their life. You know what I'm saying? You know, I just think about a mom. I used to watch my wife. I'd come home and she's there baking or doing something. She likes to bake. And the kids were maybe 3 years old and, you know, they want to stir the batter. Dear Lord, how much faith does that take? You know, for a mom to have to turn that spoon over, you know, and let that little three-year-old who thinks they're big enough to do it now. I'm big enough to do this, or I want to pour the flour myself. Okay. I mean, there's flour everywhere. They're all over the table, all over the floor. Because we think we're independent. And we make the same messes with God. God, I don't need you. I can handle this, God. I'm all by myself. And then you look over, and it's just a mess, right? So we need to declare our dependency on God because we need Him so much. You know, I'm not saying we shouldn't, you know, stand on our own 2 feet, and we need to get our kids to do that, but we need to make sure the foundation that we stand on is the rock of Christ, especially, you know, when it comes to the things of God. You know, I've learned that I need Him more than He needs me. You know, God said He needs me to do my stuff, but I do know this, without Him, I'm nothing. With Him, I'm everything. And I hope we come to that place because freedom that we want to have is freedom's about freedom to do something so that we can have freedom from something so that we can have freedom to do something. And hopefully we turn that freedom not to turn away from God and to be able to walk in our own ways because it happens. You know, people cycle. The ebb and flow of life can take control, but you know, I just want us to recommit and consecrate our dependency on God because Jesus Christ wants to rule and reign. And when we freely give ourselves to Him, He pours out so many things in each of our lives. Let's pray.